Pastor always has to give a message. He has to give a message. I promise I won't be too long-winded for you. I know we have things to get to. But it's important to stop, isn't it? Just to stop for a moment. I was in the city the other day with my son, and he had to go back up for another appointment, and I dreaded going there. I wanted to cancel it so bad. And it was just crazy there. It was so crazy. The normal amount of time to get from one end to the other was absolutely, it was tripled. Hey, we're like, man, we're going turtle pace. And we just wanted to get back home. It was crazy. And then we had to go to the mall to pick something up. And that was even worse idea. And it took us how long to find a parking spot? I think we had 30 minutes just to find a parking spot. And then we went in. And I honestly just wanted to kill myself. If there was a sharp pencil, I would have just fell on it and died. It was just horrible. Shoulder to shoulder traffic, and it was absolutely crazy. You know, I truly and honestly wonder, each and every year, it seems to be each and every year, at least anyway, if we really take enough time, or maybe for some of us, we have yet to take any time at all, just to stop and reflect and ponder on this season. And why we're here, why do we celebrate Christmas? During this time, that's to be about our Savior's coming to earth, really, isn't it? Christmas, right? The word is in there. They tried to take it out, but that's what it's about, right? It's Christmas, our Savior's coming to earth. I've had a few discussions with people over these last few weeks, and actually the pastor that I worked with when I was pastoring out in BC at a church, we had this discussion, and we go back and forth all the time. And I said to him, I said, is it possible as the church to slow down, to pull back during such a busy season? Because everybody's going Mach 10 with their hair on fire, Mach chicken. You know, we got to go everywhere, right? And the culture goes at such a pace. Can the church slow down, or do we have to keep up with it? I don't know the answer, but we've gone back and forth, and I've had a few discussions with some of you just in my office talking about that. Is there a way we can slow down? But regardless of the answer to that, we get to slow down right now tonight, right? Right now in this moment, we get to slow down. We get to stop the rushing around. And I want us just to reflect on the life of Christ. God, Jesus had everything. I mean, Aiden read it in the Advent reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, right? And so he was there since the beginning of time, and he had all these godly attributes, and he gave them up to come live here on earth, to be born here, the birth incarnate through the Virgin Mary, so he could come and live the life that you and I never could. I don't know about you, but have anybody struggled here on planet Earth as they've journeyed along? Yeah, it's a struggle. We know we fall short, right? We know we can't do it all on our own. We need help. And Jesus said, you know what, Father, we made them. We created them. You know what? I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to pay the price. We're not going to flood the earth again and destroy all of mankind. I'm going to come and pay the price that they couldn't. And I will live the life that they couldn't live. I will live it perfectly. And I'll die the death. My pure blood that is shed on that cross will pay the price to forgive their sins, past, present, and future. I mean, have we ever just stopped to think about that? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He got spat on. He argued with, verbal abuse. People wanted to kill him and destroy him. For what? For speaking the truth. Can you imagine? Listen, I made you. What are you arguing with me for? I know how this works, but you would not listen. Man, without Jesus, we just don't really work, do we? The meaning behind the name Emmanuel that was given to Jesus, and it was spoken here, it means God with us. Have you ever just stopped to think about God with us? For those of you who invited Jesus into your life, God is with you everywhere you go. I remember I was on a trip. I have traveled quite a bit in the past, and I was on a missions trip, a ministry trip to Brazil. And we got there late at night, and so my contact had to drive me. This old missionary let me stay in his house, and because he was in another area working. And so we're driving through the night because we got there so late. They had a late meeting. It was 11 o'clock, and they still wanted to have the meeting. So we're like, well, amen. I'm usually sleeping right now, but let's go. So we had the meeting, and so it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's dropping me off at this house. And I get out of the car, and I hear yelling and fighting and a fight going on in the middle of the street. I look at the house. It has a barred gate on it. And then I look over at the house again, and it has bars over all the windows. And then I look at the door, and it has bars around the door. And I thought, well, this can't be good. Why is there bars everywhere? And so I said to my contact, you know how to get me, right? He says, I think so. I said, no, you better know so. I don't speak the language. I have no clue where I am. I said, you need to make sure you know how to retrace your steps, please. My cell phone didn't work. He couldn't even call me. The missionary didn't have a phone. And I never felt loneliness. I still remember it. It still makes the hairs on my arms stand up. I never experienced loneliness and feeling so alone in my life. And I remember thinking, what am I doing here? I'm from a small village in Manitoba. Come from small town. What am I? What am I doing here, Lord? I feel so alone. And I remember after I said that, I sat on the couch and this big puff of smoke goes up. It was so dusty. Poof, phew. And I start sneezing and coughing. There's not one lampshade around a light. And I had nothing to distract me from that place of loneliness because my phone didn't work. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. And so I remember saying to the Lord, I said, God, what? I just want to go home. I just, right now, if somebody handed me a plane ticket, I would have taken it. I'm out of here. And I sat there in that quietness. And you know, we distract ourselves from that place of loneliness, don't we? We will distract ourselves. But man, God will speak to you in that place of quiet. And I remember the Lord saying to me that day, he said, Chad, what is the message I have you sharing all around the world? Well, Christ in you, your hope of glory. So are you alone? And I sat there and I thought, no. See, I didn't have the full meaning of the truth yet. But he was right here. I'm not alone. You're right. Christ in me, my hope of glory. That means everywhere I go, he goes with me. Do you know what made traveling so much easier from that? That was at the very beginning when I started traveling too. And God had to hone in that point. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen? He is with us. He is for us, not against us. With all the beauty around us, the Christmas decorations everywhere, even the traditions we follow each and every year at this time, it's all beautiful, but beneath it all is a truth that is so profound that it changes everything. God is with us. Amen. That's the truth behind it all. That your God came here and he came and dwelt among us. And he came to give us his Holy Spirit so that we had an engine that could actually get through this world in victory and in hope and in peace and in joy. Amen. We need it. Our lives have proved it. I shouldn't have to preach till I'm blue in the face. Our lives have proved it. When the prophet Isaiah spoke those words centuries ago before Jesus was born, the Israelites were living in fear and uncertainty. They were looking for reassurance that God had not abandoned them. Christmas tells us that God keeps his promises and that he does come to us, not from a distance, but comes exactly where we are at to show and give us true love, his love. Jesus stepped in our world fully. He fully stepped into it. And he was born into poverty. Remember the story? He was born into poverty, into a broken world, into human pain and into human struggle. He knew hunger. He knew weariness. He knew rejection, and he knew grief, and he knew temptation. He knew it all. So Christmas also means that God is not distant from our suffering and our pain and our hurts and our trials, but he understands it because he also lived through it as well. Does that not bring you comfort? If I can encourage you this evening that no matter what darkness you may be walking through right now, what loneliness, maybe loss of a loved one, anxiety, guilt, a health issue, or just uncertainty, God is not far away. Christ, in Christ, he is with you. In Christ, he is with you. Emmanuel does not just mean God near us. It also means God is for us, never against us. Did you know God is for you? He's cheering you on, hoping that you don't get sidetracked by the distractions of this world, but that you'll one day see your need for him. The question really is, can you trust him? That's the question. Can you trust him? Can I trust this story? Can I trust Jesus? Is this true? Is there truth to it? Because if you can, I assure you that you will discover a peace that you never thought possible to experience. This peace is not the absence of trouble, just to remind you. This peace is not the absence of trouble, but the very presence of Christ himself to get you through your troubles. A peace that holds us steady when your world feels unstable. A peace that assures you, you are not alone. I am always with you and will never forsake you. Tonight, of course, it's a candlelit service, and you're going to hold that candle. And you're going to sing of a silent night, and you're going to be reminded that the light we hold did not originate with us. It was given. Christ is the light of the world, and his light can never be extinguished. It shines into hearts. It will shine into families. It will shine into broken lives. And it will echo straight into eternity till you get to meet him face to face. So Christmas Eve actually invites a response. It demands a response, not just to admire the story, but to receive the Savior that you actually really need. To come to finally trust him, to welcome him into your life. To believe that Jesus actually is who he said he is, who he claimed to be, God with us. No matter where you're at tonight, the message of Christmas remains the same. God has come near. God has come for you. And God is with you, Emmanuel. Beautiful name, yes? It's a beautiful name. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, it says this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put that light on its stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." Just wait. I didn't say. We're going to start, and we're, you know what, I'll start here. And let's let, I want the next person to light it, okay? Yeah, we'll get the lights. Okay, and I want to watch it go all around, okay? Talis, can you get the lights for us? Okay. This is yours. Here you go. And then you're going to light the next person. Oh, you know what? Here. You just have to. Here. You can have that one. Thank you. Oh, it's coming. All right, as your candle is lit, please stand. We're going to sing together Silent Night, Holy Night. Sure, yeah.